That was beautiful. You can come back and play here again, and if you do decide to do that, try to play The Lark Ascending. You know that one by Vaughn Williams on the flute? We listen to that at home sometimes, and that is a tremendous one as well. Thank you. Should I not have said that? I think it's been loose enough tonight to say that. So, there was an artist who tried to portray the meaning of evangelism, and so he painted a picture on a canvas. And he decided to paint the picture of a storm at sea, where there were dark black clouds in the sky, flashes of lightning coming down, the sea with the waves rolling and huge breakers on them. There was a ship that was disintegrating under the weight of the water crashing against it. Some of the sailors that had been in that boat were now in the water, and by the looks of anguish on their faces, you knew that they were crying out for help. But there was one look of hope in this picture. That was in the forefront, where you could see a large rock protruding from the water. There, one of the seamen had grabbed hold of that rock with both of his hands as he was clinging to it for his life. Well, that picture presents the fact that our world is in a storm at sea, without hope, lost, apart from Jesus Christ, who is represented by that rock, the rock of ages, the rock of our salvation, to whom we cling. But as that artist pondered that picture, he decided that it wasn't accurate enough, and so he painted another one. Most everything was the same. There was the same black clouds in the sky, the same boat that was being destroyed. The men in the water were the same. The flashes of lightning were the same. The huge breakers were the same. And the man who was clinging to the rock was there as well. But there was one exception. This time, he had that man holding with one arm to that rock, and with the other, he was reaching down underneath the water to lift up one of his sinking friends. That may be a more accurate picture of New Testament evangelism, whereby a person will hold on to the rock, will cling to, will trust in Jesus Christ on the one hand, but with the other, they'll be reaching out in love to their friends around them who are sinking down under the weight of the storm. Our pastoral staff has been involved in a series of messages, and I've had a mini-series here dealing and describing with the process of evangelism, primarily a friendship evangelism, believing that those people that come to faith in Jesus Christ, or many of them who do so, and particularly those who continue to grow in their Christian faith and walk and life, are people who are immensely influenced and attracted through relationships that they have had with Christian friends. A relational evangelism is what we've been talking about. And in that relational evangelism or lifestyle evangelism, we're looking at three different parts to the process of this evangelism. The first two we have seen, cultivation being the first. Cultivation, or cultivating, whereby we build bridges of friendship, and it was brought out very clearly in the InterVarsity tape and also in Kim's message and song. We build bridges of friendship over the objections that non-Christians have. We understand, and if you have contact with people apart from Christ, you know that very often they have obstacles, objections that they need to overcome before they're able to really hear the good news of the gospel. Overcoming objections through building bridges of friendship. Friendship that is involved with your and my being present with your and mine looking, you and me looking for ways in which we can serve non-Christians. We can identify and meet needs that they have, neighbors and folks that we work with that are around us, that serve on community committees and so on and so forth. Relationships whereby non-Christians will be open to hearing the gospel. But it's through a process of cultivation where we start. And through that rubbing of shoulders, through that interacting with one another, through that developing of solid friendships where we share experiences with one another, values are caught by non-Christian friends. And I think a good type of response for a non-Christian to have involved in this process whereby a Christian friend is cultivating in their life, a good response might be something like this. You know, he or she is different from us, but he or she understands us and accepts us. That would be an excellent response for a non-Christian to make on the part of your or my cultivating in their life. But there is also that stage where we would call it sowing. These are not new terms that I'm using. But sowing, whereby we're planting seeds in the minds of our non-Christian friends. Seeds that will help them to think differently about God, about themselves, about the world that we live in. And seeds that are based upon God's revealed truth in Scripture, about what God reveals about himself, about this world, about us as people. Non-Christians are at different levels in their openness to hearing the gospel. Some people are totally antagonistic. There are those that are negative towards anything that has to do with Christianity. Others are more open, but they're cautious. Then there are those that are guarded, and there are those who would be people who you might say have a hang-up about what they portray or perceive to be true of Christianity. Maybe they see it as rules or regulations alone. People are at different levels of openness to hearing the gospel. And when we think of planting or sowing seeds, we think then of taking little bits of truth that are revealed in God's Word that are catered to that particular level or interest or need that they have that would speak directly to that particular area that they might be having a problem with or an obstacle over. Little bits of truth then applied to the condition of our non-Christian friends as we're involved in building a relationship and friendship with them. We do this through conversations, through sharing our testimonies. It might be through sharing a book, loaning a book to a friend, or inviting them to a particular event where the topic of the speech would speak to that particular level or interest or area of conflict that they're experiencing in hearing the gospel. And third, tonight briefly, we look at reaping. The idea of reaping, where the part of the process in evangelism where a non-Christian is now presented with the need and with the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, where they're encouraged to reach out and to accept Jesus Christ and his offer and his invitation of life and forgiveness of sin. The idea of reaping or harvesting again in this farming illustration. Now, my background placed a very heavy emphasis upon this aspect of any process of evangelism. The idea of reaping was stressed very, very much. And I can look back and see that there wasn't a lot of cultivating or sowing going on in the early Christian years of my life. But I can say this, that most of the people, however, most of the people, even in those early years, who did respond, or at least We're open to hearing the message of the gospel. We're people with whom I did have some kind of a relationship with. There was something going on along those lines. And probably the universal question that I ask, and I would expect you would ask, if you're involved in this type of a relational or friendship evangelism with others, the question that is so often asked is, well, how can I know when the time is right to encourage my friends to receive Jesus Christ? How can I know when the timing is right for me to step out and to share the gospel or the content of the gospel and encourage them to respond to the invitation that Christ brings? Well, I'm no expert on this, but I would relay to you some thoughts from Joe Aldridge, which I have learned from him, hearing him speak and also reading literature that he has written. And that is, and if you will look with me on the overhead, if I can find that sheet that Courtney promised me. Courtney? We're going to do the second best thing and use something else here. Determining readiness for the gospel. Okay. Aldridge would suggest asking these types of questions in considering, is the timing right in sharing my faith as far as the content of the gospel, encouraging my friend to receive Christ? Asking these types of questions. Well, what do you know of the person's religious background? Are you familiar? Have you talked about this? Two, what opportunities have you had to plant seeds? And then what was the response to these germinal ideas? It's what we were talking about before in the process of sowing. The little bits of truth that we have planted, well, what's been the response to those seeds that have been planted in the minds of non-Christians concerning how they look at God or themselves or the world we live in? Three, do you sense that your neighbor enjoys being with you? If you enjoy being with someone and you know that they enjoy being with you, you know that that relationship has arrived at a particular level of openness. You have shared some things together. Four, what needs have you discovered which relate to the gospel solution? There will be needs that may probably have been determined that the gospel speaks very directly to that you would share in that time. Five, what caricatures have you been able to eliminate from his arsenal of questions and excuses? Again, the idea of those obstacles, those objections that a non-Christian may have to coming to Christ. Have you dealt with any of those caricatures too? That one possibly about Christianity being a bunch of rules and regulations alone or something. Have you dealt with those? Six, what signs of openness have you detected? Does this person or group of people ask questions about religious things? Is there a general freedom in your relationship to discuss religious concepts? Is there openness to reading materials and other resources? Has there been willing involvement in some harvest vehicles? For example, home Bible studies, or going to an evangelistic event, or being involved in a sporting program, or Awana, or some other type of an avenue where they've had some involvement with Christian people. Positive seeking attitude. Are they seeking? Do they demonstrate that attitude? These are some some suggestions I think that would help us to determine whether or not the time would be good in our relationship with a non-Christian friend to have a presentation of the gospel and give them that opportunity to receive Christ. If we determine that a number of these things have gone on and are going on in that relationship, and Joe Aldridge would suggest Okay, I missed one. How much of your personal testimony have you had a chance to share? But then he would suggest a question in the course of that relationship, a question to ask, which he calls the pilgrimage question. Jim or Susan or Bob or Harriet, at what point are you in your own spiritual pilgrimage? It's giving that friend an opportunity to describe where they see themselves on their spiritual journey. And a second question, has your spiritual pilgrimage come to the point of personal commitment to Jesus Christ, or are you still on the way? Again, it's a non-threatening question that will allow a person an opportunity to share as much as they want to. Based upon their responses, he would suggest an opportunity statement. Sometime, I'd like the opportunity to share four principles, and here he's talking about the four spiritual laws put out by Campus Crusade for Christ, which he very often would use as a witnessing tool. I'd like to share these with you, which will help you understand what it means to have a personal relationship with God. And then an interest question, could I share those four principles with you? Then a schedule question, determined now or later. If it's later that you would want to share with them, determine what is the best time for us to get together, and then set up a specific time. Is it morning? Is morning okay, or would there be another time? I can leave these up for just another minute if you're copying them down. But again, these are tools and they're ideas, and there are a number of tools when we think of reaping or harvesting or presenting the gospel that can be especially helpful in a relationship that you would have with non-Christians. Maybe another tool by Campus Crusade for Christ. Maybe the Van Dusen letter put out by them. You may want to be involved in using a navigator tool, the bridge illustration, or something that we're using now as we're training in our church visitation ministry, something called the ABCs, which is quite simple to learn. There are any number of tools or methods that you may want to use. InterVarsity, Paul Little, How to Give Away Your Faith, has some excellent suggestions in there for sharing the content of the gospel. But really, a tool is good if we're sensitive to the people that we're with. And as we develop those friendships and those relationships, and we come to those points in time where we trust God that now is the time that He wants us to share the content of the gospel because of the relationship that we've developed, we look for God's leadership in that time. We'll always be dependent upon Him as well. Presenting people with an opportunity to respond to the very good news of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, You have brought home so clearly tonight through the song and through the slide presentation, through so many ways, have really given us a clear picture of our need to be ready to share the good news with those around us. And we pray, God, for a special sensitivity to those that we already have established relationships with, and a determination and a fire in our hearts to develop new relationships with our non-Christian neighbors. Trusting You, God, that You will use us, for the field is white unto harvest. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and we are dismissed.